Is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Happy to be here. Hello.
Wonderful. Yay, happy to have you here, Pumpkin.
And trying to log in. But can't figure it out.
Listen, you're not, it's all good. It's all good. Janine's been working real hard with the book coming out and family coming up. And We're just going to have Janine's presence. You're good, babe. You're good.
Thank
you. Just be present. My pleasure.
Yeah. And I'm here, everybody.
Yeah. Yay! So how was your day?
Me? Good. Good. Yeah.
Popping in and out of any realities?
No, staying, you know, I mean, I've noticed a lot of things, you know, have been quiet for a while, and then really seems like the momentum is picking up, and very quick things pop up out of nowhere. They're feeling very positive, very quick responses. Seems like, you know, opportunity just showing up, and I'm responding to it with ease, and it's quick. That's what I've noticed. Things are quicker right now, and so I'm going with it, you know.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
And I guess that's it. You know, I'm trying to think. I mean, you and I have been having some great conversations, and
yeah, can't wait to share.
Yeah, about awareness.
Yeah.
And,
what's going quick for me is.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think that's part of it. You know.
Awareness. It is a part of it.
Yeah, it brings in that. It's almost like this cooperation with. Out there or something, you know, it's like
out there, I mean, life is well, but you're absolutely right that it's a time where out there is actually becoming aligned within here.
Yeah, it's like that's what I'm saying. It's like
right
the awareness is inward, and then I just noticed that there's this stuff coming to me that just seems really wow, okay, you know, and I'm responding, and it's new. And I'm talking like in the last 4 days where I just noticed this quickness happening. And, you know, my rhythm, deliberately, my rhythm is not to rush, to be, you know, methodical and pace it. But even in, you know, it's like dancing. It's like, okay, pick up the steps a little bit because the beat is moving, you know, and I like it.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Well, and it is changing. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm experiencing the fabric of reality changing, and in the sense that I'm in alignment, you know, like I'm in alignment with reality. Most of my life always had a, you know, square peg round hole kind of feel to life. And that is not my experience. And I get it. I'm also shifting daily. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm the same person I was when I was 12 years old. I mean, but the changes let me start sharing. Because first of all,
I
want to share about these phobias. Because I had knew that I was going to talk about this early last week. I had a tremendous awareness. And, Janine, I don't know if you saw the pictures that I loaded for the episode page, but I loaded one with darkness and one with, you know, like the reservoir of water. Because those were the phobias that me and you have dealt with. And in my awareness of the phobias, which is, I would say I have two phobias in this lifetime that I'm aware of. I have a phobia of water. I can't see under my feet. And that one was not from birth. That literally was triggered by the movie Jaws when I was about 13, saw it in the theater. And it absolutely, you know, got my brain. When I'm in water, I can't see under my feet. You know, I hear, dun-dun. and monsters are coming to get me. And what's funny is even when I'm at a rock, you know, on the edge of the water, like when I was talking to that little fish that day when I first found the spot, there was fear in my body that something could jump up, you know, like a great white shark or you know, some sort of monster. I can just feel it. It's a panicky fear. And I've worked with it. I mean, I scuba dived, and we're going to talk about working with it, but we're going to talk about the insight that I had about it. But just so everybody else knows too, and the second phobia I have, which I can honestly say I don't believe there's any remnants, you know, I feel very much integrated with, is the fear of being alone. And that was a very strong fear for me from very early childhood. I mean, I as far as I knew, I came into this lifetime with that fear. And according to Carolyn Mace, it's the number one fear. It's bigger. It's a fear, you know, more than death, more than public speaking. People are very frightened to be alone. And,
yeah.
You know, that's an interesting dynamic as we go through this, you know, process of ascension globally, internally, you know, everybody, but yet individually, because the awarenesses that are coming into me is that, you know, I can share my experience with all of you. I can listen to your guys' experiences. But the truth is, it's an internal job. How I'm experiencing the ascension or these times right now, whether you're ascending or descending, and there is both going on, it's very personal. I mean, and it's designed that way. It's like, this is not about all of us doing it at the same or all of us feeling the same thing. We can work from a mind space to try and create that, which is ultimately the control of the tribe. You know, what we find tribes because we want the security of somebody else going through with us to, you know, sharing the experience. And yet what's happening now, even if you're, it doesn't matter if you're in the tribe, it's an individual experience. And I think once we come to the real space of accepting that, not from a space of, oh my God, I'm all alone, but from the divine space of, wow, this is my journey and I get to create it. Because that is what happens when we integrate that fear of being alone. That's what the journey, I don't want to say turns into, but that's the perspective, at least that's the perspective I'm going through. And I've gone the journey from phobic of being alone to really, you know, making choices that they might have been tough, but it's really having a communication. I can't emphasize enough, once we understand that the journey we're making is ours to make, all pointers and all signposts lead within.
Yeah.
You know, spending time alone gives you, he hears music?
Yeah, I don't hear any music.
Yeah, I don't hear any music. I would log out and back on again, Z28. If anybody's hearing music right now, because it was weird, because the song actually went longer than, it ended on my whatever this thing is called, you know, where I can see it on the screen, but the music kept playing. So, you know, if there is something going on with the music, I would just reboot the page. So what was I saying?
Well, you know, you were talking about phobias and, you know, of course yours was the water and mine is the young girl, little from back when I remember was the dark, and that was why you posted the dark and the water,
yep.
Which is great and appropriate. And, you know, years later, I would, as an adult, would deliberately put myself in the position of going on a vision quest where I was out there and alone in the desert mountains by myself for 3 nights to confront the dark. And that was a conscious decision, which, you know, I look back and go, you know, brilliant, because there was huge gifts waiting for me on the other side of confronting that. But, you know, one of the things that I've been noticing lately, because, you know, this is what's fun about sharing is that, yeah, we bring up the past, but all this that we're talking about is happening in the current now. And one of the things that I've been noticing is talking to people in therapy or, you know, in even passing, you know, we have a great conversation with someone is, or I'll hear about someone struggling, is the, I think it's so simple, and yet it never really dawned on me before, but I see it now, and I notice I'm saying, just feel your feelings. Being afraid of your feelings actually is what causes the anxiety and the stress, not the feeling.
Exactly.
So what I therein lies, you know, the resistance to the feelings, which of course would be my dark in your water. It wasn't the feelings that were the enemy, but the resistance was causing the real problem. And because emotions are normal, they're part of being human. You know, you want to feel, and so the resistance to feeling. Wherever this enculturization or messaging or whatever it is that makes our feelings, you know, wrong, then this resistance is created, and then I think ultimately with a lot of resistance comes phobias. You know, they're even more powerful. And you know, so I've noticed lately, what's so beautiful about this is that the moment I tell someone that, where I deliver this, it's not your emotions, allow them, feel them, there's nothing to be afraid of, because if you're afraid of your emotions, then literally you're saying you're afraid of yourself, and that's absurd. So,
right.
You know, so there's this, I can feel it in the person that the minute I say that, it changes them.
Yes.
Because they've never heard that before. And,
yes.
And you know, I know that is a concept, but it's a concept way beyond just giving.
Well, it's what I would call an opening door. You open the door to self.
Right.
When you embody that concept.
Right. And when you deliver that kind of suggestion that I've come to know by my own experience and, you know, living it, you're delivering, like we've been talking about, Goldie, it's in a presence that this is being told. Like,
exactly.
This isn't just, you know, so there's...
It's not just words. There's organic...
there's a presence in it.
And
yeah.
There's a whole... It's a dimension that comes with these words. And it's the dimension of self.
Yeah, it's interacting with people when you do the... When you're in these states, which, of course, now is really not momentary. It's kind of all the time, is that, you know...
It really is.
Yeah,
it's definitely more than it used to be. Definitely.
Right, it is, and that's part of this. I'm noticing these things lately, and you know, they went from, you know, maybe I noticed myself saying these things for the first time, say, 4 weeks ago. But now it's incrementally quicker, where situations are coming up where I'm hearing and I'm able to say these things to people, and you know, and there is so much more being delivered with that. It is a very enlightening thing to know and say, but I'm noticing that the people are doing double takes. It's like, what? You know,
yeah.
and they're getting it. And
Definitely.
And you know, and you see them getting it, and it's really great.
I mean, it's a physicalness. I mean,
yeah.
Joe the cable guy literally, when he got his aha moment, there was a hue, H-U-E, there was a hue that radiated from his body. And it's funny because you don't see it necessarily with your eyes, but you do. But really it's a sensation when someone has not just an aha moment,
right?
But an aha moment, in my humble opinion, connected to self, become self-perpetuating aha moments, because
yes.
It's all about bringing our awareness. I mean, I got to say the quote. Okay, I have been diving deep into Eckhart Tolle last few days, which is amazing, because when it comes down to awareness, I love Eckhart's work. And Eckhart said this in one of his talks. He said, when you bring in awareness, you literally bring in another dimension. Mm. And he was talking, going, when you're feeling your feelings, that's look at that as an experience, when we're feeling our feelings. He goes, but when you bring in awareness of yourself, feeling your feelings, that is a profoundly different experience. And when he said this, his words, I could feel them. They went directly into, right, like, my cells, and all of a sudden it was like, it just struck me that awareness isn't, the way I would say it, it's not just bringing in a dimension. It is the doorway to our multidimensionalness, because awareness is now understanding that in our experiences, space has intelligence. The space, the air, the, you know, it was so profound, and it's been happening to me where, like, for the last couple of days, dealing with my phobia. Oh, and I just got to share this about the phobias.
Yeah.
When we integrate our phobias, it literally is, it's the ticket out of the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Because it became so clear to me that when I was a child, prior to being phobic about the water, I mean, I loved being in the pool. I loved being underwater. I remember I was like in second grade, and I did a book report on dolphins. I just remember being really connected to the water. And it struck me that, you know, from 13 till 47, even though I've been working on my phobia of the water for, you know, in this light worker experience I've been having, I addressed the phobia. So, you know, I'd say, you know, so from 13 till about 35, it struck me that as I integrate this phobia, it's literally, it's the water that is the intelligence within me and connected to me that is telling me all the truth. I mean, like, it's just, it's blowing away the illusion, like, well, I won't say blowing away because that would be an air thing. It's dissolving the illusion so effortlessly. It's like I can understand how my soul would go, listen, you need to have a phobia about water, because if you spend a lot of time in the water, you'll wake up. And we don't want you to wake up yet. We want you to have 30 years of the experiences to make, you know, to get your soul balanced, because in this lifetime, you're going to ascend. You're going to birth with Mother Nature. So it's like the phobia has just started taking on a whole new awareness. See, everything just keeps coming back to awareness. That now that I am beginning to, I'm integrating the being alone, I'm integrating water, where the water inside our bodies, I mean, the water that's on the planet, I've heard science say, is the same water that was here during the dinosaur time. I mean, literally, like, I'm not quite sure how water, you know, does its thing, how it, you know, we drink it, it comes out pee, and somehow it rains on us water. I don't know that whole system. But I know everything is recycled. The water is the same water. And I started contemplating, that means water knows our history.
Right.
And then I started contemplating that literally the essence of the life on this planet, on planet Earth, is because we're a water planet. That's what makes us third dimensional. It is the water that is the consciousness of life in the third dimension. And I'm not saying it's the only thing, but it's clearly part of the, you know, the foundational fabric of life. And we're made of 80% of it. You know, it's like, so clearly I can connect with an intelligence it's in me. I mean, I don't need to take a class. I don't need an angel to tell this to me. It's like, I just, the more I turn within to know the experience that I'm having, because it really is the only place that could ever show me. Mm-hmm. And it's the only place where I could ever, on some level, get a grasp of it. Because, you know, the grasp is, I'm starting to really know, this is about surrender. you know, that's what the intelligence tells me. The intelligence tells me the mind, the mind is not a terrible thing to waste. Waste it. Waste it. The mind is the mind is the third dimensional, it's the matrix holder. It holds us in the matrix. And it's not that it's not about turning our minds off. It really is, though, absolutely, when you go within, it is about reassigning the mind as servant, not master. It is not the mind that has the answers, not by a long shot, because essence, like the essence of the water and the essence of my presence, that all comes from feeling / sensation / knowing. It is a much more profound point of view, and it in my humble opinion, it seems to be naturally becoming more prominent in our third dimension. In other words, the water is, you know, because I want to start kind of playing with this, and, you know, not to do magic potions or anything, but the water's more conscious. I'm really curious to see what's shared with me, and this is what's been shared lately. I have, in the last 24 hours, sat with a total stranger from Cablevision, who I called, you know, I called Cablevision to come. They had put in a device that boosts our signal, and when they put it in, I got a headache, and I kind of went, you know, a little berserko, you know, kind of went conspiracy theory, and was like, I got to get rid of this. This thing has to go. It's, you know, it's producing a frequency, and it's I don't want to deal with this. I mean, but I really went into that. I mean, I was like, I didn't sleep very well two nights ago. And truth be told, in my humble opinion, I had run out of tea and was drinking my father's instant coffee. It's like Maxwell House, one of those. And I'll be honest with you, the body, I'm definitely seeing my body. I'm not digesting like ice cream and milk products. I buy the lactaid stuff because it hurts. You know, physically, I'm not digesting the same. Foods are changing for me. And one of the things, I mean, I just cannot drink coffee. Coffee just really, it's like a bomb goes off inside of me that makes me very agitated and fearful. And, you know, because I knew I drank the coffee, you know, I'm aware of it. So it's like, this too shall pass. You know, I drink lots of water, start flushing your body. I mean, it was a hellish night, and, you know, I did it somewhat consciously because I was like, I didn't want to go buy some tea. Next time I'm going to go buy some tea. Anyways, so I was having this wild night, and what ended up happening is, this is Sunday. Sunday the thing gets put in. Monday, Janine calls me up at 6 and basically goes, I'm not feeling too great. You know, can we do the show on Tuesday? And I'm like, absolutely. You know what? Me and Janine really do know, anytime we cancel shows, and this is a first, usually what happens is the night that we end up doing the show, like tonight, a caller will call in or something profound will happen. And it doesn't have to even necessarily be a caller. Something will shift with, you know, we'll just have a really good show and we'll know it. Well, this happened to happen last night. So she called me up at 6 and we canceled the show. And the cable guy was supposed to come between 5 and 8 to remove this device. So they kept calling because the guy who was coming over kept calling cable going, why am I going over there? And the guy would look at his screen from cable and go, I don't know, everything's running, functioning, you know, perfectly. I don't know why you're going over there. So they kept calling going, are you sure you want us to come over? And I can tell you that there was definitely a sense of, I had fear around, do I have the right to say come over and, you know, because I kind of just wanted to talk about it. I wasn't sure if I wanted it removed by the following day, because once the coffee was out of me, the headache went away. But I kind of just got this sense that it was like, but you just keep pushing it, make them come here. And I'm like, every time they called, you know, I would feel it in my stomach going, am I doing the right thing? I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And well, oh hell, you know, I'm here, I'm in it, you know, they're coming over. So finally they called at like 8:15. He's like, you know, they're coming. My father goes, they're coming in 15 minutes. I said, okay, great. So the guy that came to the door, his name is Joe. I can tell you he was a complete 180-degree change from the gentleman who installed the thing the day before and fixed my phone, which is a whole other story. I'll get into that later. But they were completely different people. The guy who came on Sunday was like Joe Hollywood, or I don't want to say Joe, you know, Jim Hollywood. And this gentleman, Joe, was like Joe Soul. So he comes in, he's explaining everything, because I'm like, okay, I really want to know about this device. And he explained it to me. I went into my heart, and I really got that this is not putting out a frequency. It's simply pushing the signal through the cable wires. You know, it's almost like when the signal hits this box, it goes, and it spits it out faster, so it will hit all the external parts of the house, which are on cable lines. And I'm going, well, you know, that sounds pretty damn good. Like, you know, and I was like, you know, I shook his hand. I went, listen, dude, I'm sorry to bring you out here, you know, on a Monday night. You know, go home, be with your family. And all of a sudden, Joe, I don't even know exactly how it happened, but I can tell you within 10 minutes, we were speaking about hiking. We were speaking about sovereignty. We were speaking about what I would call very personal points of view. And 10 minutes after that, we were talking about very private personal points of view. I mean, things that had gone on with my body this week, and just personal information about finding a lump on my chest. And he was sharing personal information. I mean, there was this... It was so apparent to me that it was a heart-to-heart connection, and I love heart-to-heart connections, because one of the things that I clearly got was it had nothing to do with that we had never met. It had everything to do was when we were heart-to-heart, it was indeed our presence that was exchanging energy, yeah. Not our minds. And we were just talking, and I was, you know, I was kind of doing, you know, the whole Goldie thing, you know, self-empowerment, you know, because I was sharing with him all the body things that I had found on my body. I don't go to the doctor to be healed. Everything is in my template. Everything comes from energy. Either energy's flowing or energy stagnant. Very simple. If it's stagnant, you're going to get bumps and lumps and tumors and cancers. If it's flowing, it's almost like you can drink poison and you're going to be okay. I mean, that just seems to be how me and my body are experiencing the times we live in, because my body responds. So we were talking about that. I mean, all of a sudden Joe goes, oh my God, like, he goes, you're glowing, like, I mean, I'm not kidding you. He's like, you're just glowing right now. And I'm going, you know, once he said that, I was like, all right, take her down. Let's go deep. And so the conversation just, there was really, we never reached a point where either one of us said, okay, that's deep enough. I'm not going. And by the time the night was done, he had spent about an hour and a half here. My father's, you know, screaming down, everything okay down there? I was like, oh, yeah, everything's good, Dad. You know, we're good. It's all good. Right before he left, he literally goes, oh, my God, I get it. And I was like, right on. And I'll be honest with you. He didn't have to say a word. Here's what I knew he got. He got self.
Mm.
That's what he – because it's where – It's where the direction of everything I was sharing. And why was I sharing that? Because it's where this is where I've been. This is where I go. I don't know. I can only share my own journey. And I'm telling you, the presence was so profound. When he got it, I went, holy shit, you're glowing. Like, it was very bright. It was tangible. And then, you know, I don't want to eat up all the time. Today, Alana shows up, and she's got some digestive stuff going on in her lungs. And the first thing out of my mouth is, and she's got some stuff that she's working out with her boyfriend where she needs to find her voice. She needs to speak a truth. And so she comes over, and she's like, I'm still a little congested. And I'm like, well, you know, did you talk to your boyfriend? She's like, yeah. I go, did he get it? And she goes, no. And I go, well, that's why there's still congestion.
Yeah.
Because you gotta talk to him until he gets it. Because until he gets it, there's still an imbalance within the house, and you're carrying that imbalance.
Yeah.
And by the time she left, she was like, "I'm so glad I came over here." She goes, "I was gonna go to the doctor, but I'm not gonna go to the doctor now." I went, "Why not? You don't need to go to the doctor. Address the problem." And I just want to let you know that. Today, I had had some bump issues in a private area for the last few days. Today, 70% of those bumps were gone, and I absolutely attribute it to the fact that I shared without shame to Joe last night. That because I wasn't, and it was interesting because the things we were sharing without, I'm not going to disclose, you know, his conversation, but the things we were sharing, he was ashamed to share with anybody else. He couldn't believe.
Wow.
Like, he goes, "You're so cool." And I'm like, I go, "Listen, I'm organic. What you're ashamed of, there's nothing to be ashamed of."
Mm.
You know, he enjoyed being naked. And he couldn't tell anybody in his family this because they shun him for, and I'm like, "No, that's perfectly okay." You know, because I told him, "Listen, go to the woods, take off your clothes. I run around naked all the time. You know, don't, you know, you might not, you can, I don't recommend you do it through a mall, but, you know, if you want to be naked, go be naked. Don't not give that to yourself because the people around you are going, you know, you're weird. Don't do that."
Yeah.
Because find yourself. You will be a better, you know, husband, father, spouse, partner, worker, when you take care of yourself. That's a guarantee. And 70% of my bumps gone today. I'm like, it's literally, I mean, I get it. I'm just getting it. And speaking our truth is so important if we're not feeling good. I can,
You know, it's so amazing. Well, you know, again, it's like what we were talking about right before you started telling the story of Joe, and which was, to me, the incredible art of relating, which is always, you know, one of the things that I just pay attention to and I love, and it, which is the quality of relating, you know, one-on-one. And I guess, obviously, the quality of relating to self, which is the whole beginning point. So the thing I'm picking up completely is in the David Hawkins work, the book Healing and Recovery, he speaks of like a levels of consciousness and the life-affirming consciousness really takes off at the level of truth and courage. And literally things below that are kind of anti-life. They don't support.
They'll take life away from you.
And what's at the lowest that he has found is shame. And which I was amazing because I'm listening to you and you're speaking of shame. And, you know, shame of this and shame of that. And I find that to be so powerful in, you know, powerfully to become aware of that is so powerful because those shame and those those whatever they are, they're not, I don't know if you call them emotions or what they are, you know.
Blocks of emotion. They're blocks of emotion.
They really keep a person in an anti-life affirming, you know, state.
Well, it's like being in a vice. It's like being, me and Alana talked about today. It keeps us so tight. We're not expanding and expressing. We're tight and tense because it becomes a secret, which then becomes a weight.
And shame, right, and then you move, you know, it was almost like catapulting into truth and openness and courage and, you know, humility and, you know, obviously love above all. But
self-love, it's about loving ourselves.
And others, because, I mean, there was a clear connection with, you know, Alana and Joe and,
That's true.
But it's one and the same. I mean, it's the art of
relating.
Well,
that's in the presence, right.
Yeah, and so what amazes me, though, is you went from, there was this, you know, shame subject to truth subject, and it was a game changer. It's like the David Hawkins book being lived out, you know, because I loved the first three chapters of the book, and then the rest of it's kind of repetitive. But if you read the first three chapters, you're like, wow, that's really great information, and yet you just demonstrated it. That was just a complete demonstration of that. And the other thing is I'm listening going, isn't it amazing that, you know, I was just talking to Goldie earlier about wanting to pay more attention as to what my body's telling me, like when there's a headache. Like Goldie had the headache and she's thinking it's the cable, but was it really that Joe was supposed to come to the house? I felt tired and said, you know, I think that I would be better to do the show when I'm better rested. But was it really because Goldie was supposed to have Joe come over 7:45 when we would have been on the show? It's like those kinds. I mean, and I don't need to know those things out of a control.
Oh, but come on, it's fun though. It's fun that it's even in the mix.
The more aware you are, it's kind of, you know, it's the Jedi Knight thing. It's the just being open to the river. You know, the
message.
Right. It's just being open to. You know, it's like my little girl Lily in my book, when the bird drops the shell from the sky, in real life that happened to me. I didn't catch the shell, but you know what? My character did. But when you're in the magic river, it's like hand out, caught the shell. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
It's like,
oh, what's my headache telling me? Oh, what do I need to know here? Oh, you know, where do I need to go now? Like the peaceful warrior who knew the clothes were under the bridge, and you know,
yes.
She just moved in this synchronicity. And
Peace
I think
Walker,
that,
Peace Walker, just
yeah. Peace Walker, yeah. I think that that's really what ends up happening when, you know, it's why am I in the store and I'm looking at a blue bowl and I'm going, why am I looking at the blue bowl? And next thing you know, I have a client who's looking for a therapist, and they're like, you have to talk to me, you know, and I'm like, okay, and now I have that blue bowl, you know.
Yeah, but we can even tell, but how about an even greater story? Janine had a client, an elderly man, seeing her, and when he passed, his wife...
He unexpectedly passed away.
Unexpectedly, his wife, who was never supportive of him going to therapy, you know, without giving away too many details,
right.
Ends up speaking with Janine and then going, God, you're so amazing. I would like to come to you now.
And she said, does this happen often? And I go, no.
Not many people leave me in their wills.
to their spouse. But, yeah, it was beautiful. I mean.
It was amazing.
And it was amazing. I lived in that amazingness. Just, you know, for weeks I was like, wow, this is incredible. And, you know, believe me, that was, honestly, that was in the beginning of July. Mm. You know, and this has just been, you and me have been experiencing incrementally and exponentially.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I love that we're in the current. We're in the moment of what of what is happening.
Yeah.
You know, right? And
oh, my God. No, absolutely. So, you know, the show is really about every week what's going on with us in the week. I mean, this is and it's so I laugh because, you know, we couldn't have picked a better time in, you know, humanity's history and or our own personal experience to do a weekly show on what's going on in life. I don't know if 20 years ago the show would have made it.
Well,
you know,
well.
You know, well, I don't know. I mean, I just laugh because I'm like...
But it's no different than a quarter after eight, Joe shows up and we didn't do the show. It's like, okay, so we're doing the show. We start doing the show a year ago and you know, and it's perfect timing.
Yeah,
know?
No, exactly. It is
and
perfect
we,
timing.
All we knew it was the Mystical Mother Earth show and, you know, and I love how it unfolds as it unfolds and things come out of our mouths and we're like, wow, that's incredible. And, you know,
yeah,
we're living it.
Well,
so,
that is, you know, if I wanted to drive a point home, to sit in front of a stranger. I mean, I love, you know, being able to, you know, have Alana have an aha moment. But, I mean, she's as close to me having a teenager, you know, 20-year-old kid because of my relationship with her. So, you know, I mean, I, on some level, I expect, not expect that, but, you know, okay, aha moments with Alana. Okay, yeah, I do expect that. You know, I do. I mean, I try to mentor her. You know, I try to guide her as, you know, as a mentor. But Joe, I mean, and what? Because I'll tell you, the gift for me was the man who came into my home. Because I ended up gifting him the book, the Frederick Douglass narration of a slave, or narrative of a slave.
Yes.
Because that the conversation really birthed itself from, you know, me feeling enough self-esteem and enough self-worth to say, if I don't want that device in my house, I have enough power to say, come take it out. Because I'm telling you, it was in my awareness of everything happening before Joe got to the door. It was amazing how life kept going, you want to cancel? And I kept going, I don't know, do I? Maybe I should. Shit, you know, are they going to be upset if they come here and nothing's wrong? And, you know, I could feel my my subserviousness, you know, going, I don't want to piss anybody off. What if they cut our cable off? And yet I kept feeling that fear and looking at my dad every time he kept going, cable's on the line. It's like, no, tell him to come. And it's like, you know, kind of scratching my head going, really, Goldie? I, you know, because, you know, there's something about, okay, let's talk about this. And you'll definitely, okay, so awareness is about bringing in the perspective of space having an influence in our life. That which has been called empty, having an influence on our life. Because it's very important that when we are in space as that concept, as an awareness, I was feeling simultaneously afraid and not having enough self-esteem, as well as, that's okay, Dad, tell them to come anyways.
Right. Because which was almost beyond, it was almost like would you say that was kind of a self beyond the doubter? Like you were
beyond
almost,
the doubter, right on. That's a beautiful way to say, because I had the same thing when I was moving out of Scott's.
Right.
There was a joy to my standing up for myself and speaking a sovereignty, and there was a great fear of, oh, I'm breaking up with Scott. You know, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing?
It's like I just keep kind of falling back into, and I'll tell you, this is where Alana, we're going to definitely get Alana's going to come on and do a show. She's got to. Because like Alana was saying, it's so important to let go of expectations of the future. Because if you're living in the future, if your now sucks, you're never going to get to that future.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I could, you know, because she you know, she's not breaking up with her boyfriend, but they're having challenges, you know. And it's like, because I said, you know, I was like, you gotta be willing to be authentic, because if the relationship doesn't grow and change for both of you, you know, ultimately one's growth can't be the suppression of the other. Because if that is the case, inevitably you're going to go, get off. I've had enough of this. So, but it's about being co-creative and really proactive in our relationships. Because if the relationship can't take any side of the partner, but just from a self point of view, if your relationship can't take you being authentic, then the relationship's complete. It's not a failure, mm-hmm. but I really believe that the awarenesses and all the gifts come when we're willing to be. Remember, the river is flowing. You know, anytime we're in something that we in, you know, because this is another thing, we intuitively all know when there's something not right in our relationships that we need to speak up about. We just know it. When people are like, I don't know what's wrong. Oh, bullshit. We might not choose to want, because I said to her, you know, Alana's going on vacation tonight at like 3:30 in the morning. And I go, and a week ago it was his birthday when some stuff came up. And I go, listen, you can look at this and keep going, well, I don't want to say it because of this. I don't want to say it because we're on vacation. I go, but start looking at it from upside down, you know, inside out, backwards. I was like, how about because you're on vacation and the apartment has something to do with their you know, unbalancedness, you're out of the apartment, you're going to California. Okay, so, you know, take a walk on the beach, just the two of you, you know, and you're going to be there 5 days, create the space and do it. Make the talk, because maybe he'll be more apt, not in the security of his own home, to be open to hearing what you're saying. You know, because you can feel it, how everybody goes, oh, I can't say it now, it's going to fuck things up. And it's like, and I get it. Oh, you don't want to maybe say this kind of stuff on his birthday. But it, you know, you still got the congestion in your chest. Ultimately, you got to say it. So stop making excuses. Have the fear and do it anyways. Because I can tell you from experience, when we start addressing that inside of us, which we know is just about us being authentic, you know, and if our partners don't want to hear about, it's usually our well-being too. I mean, I'm finding, you know, Joe has all sorts of healing issues. And it's like he has healing issues because he's holding on to the shame.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's going to kill you. I mean,
which is not life affirming. Shame
correct.
Is not. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it's not just shame why we don't express. I mean, because I don't think Alana's not shame. Alana's really.
No, but she's afraid of disrupting
the balance.
And
or the perceived balance.
And what's beyond, you know, if I say this could happen.
Yeah.
And that's not feeling. She doesn't want to draw that in, you know, and because there's something about that scares her.
Right on, babe. Right on.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
Which is, and she's 21. I mean, this
of
is,
course,
you know.
Of course.
Right. Because, you know, the beautiful part is, here's the beauty of balance. And I wrote this in one of my posts on Facebook. Balance is never being ashamed of anything. That balance says that, you know, we're going to feel everything. We're going to feel afraid. We're going to feel courageous. We're going to feel small. We're going to feel, you know, as big as the cosmos. Balance is about everything. So this idea that we get hung up that we've got to do it right, or we've got to be a good girl
right.
or a good
right,
boy.
Right, right, right.
Oh, my God.
Or
does
an
that,
expert at everything.
Or
yeah,
an expert.
Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, God, that is going to tie you up energetically to really, it's very non-life affirming, which means ultimately, okay, so you're choking yourself off from your own source of energy. And
well, it's interesting if I remember we had this great conversation and about, and I think it was before New Year's Eve, but it was right around that time when it was the question about, you know, being honest with yourself. And sometimes, you know, sometimes that's not as easy as it, you know, it isn't easy sometimes to be honest with yourself. But then even to follow that thread and say, you know, I'm not sure I know how to be honest with myself because maybe I learned that being honest with myself, you know, was, you know, a disruptor. And when I said what I wanted, that wasn't good. So, you know, ultimately, you know, the message is, and I guess Alon has triggered this for me in terms of, you know, saying this, is that if I say what I want, that's not good. And, you know, even not even knowing the results, but, you know, that could be a pattern. When you say what you want, it's not good. It's not met with, good for you. You know what you want.
Right.
You know,
right. That's big.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
That
is
big.
You know, I think a lot of us have learned not to say what we want, and we've even confused ourselves to be even to know that we're capable of knowing what we want, which I would say that is the ability to be honest with yourself. I think that that's a really, you know, it's a great place to start, you know, with yourself, you know, right? Because, you know,
well, clearly, it's because remember, the whole point is to become your own best friend. No more guides that are outside of us, you know, and I get it. I'm not saying that we don't have beings that are assisting us, but, you know, the truth is they can't feel our feelings for us. I mean, there really is some experiences we must do for ourselves. I mean, we just must, and it's not a...
Oh, I think that it's an imperative, you know, and you know what I love, too, and this is all, see, for me, this is very experiential and experimental, but that feeling of being both the person that's going, what are you doing, and the part of you's going, I don't know, but you're just doing it, you know, and you're like, why?
Well, because you do know, though. I'm telling you,
right.
I do know when I'm doing the right thing. I'm just kind of like, shit.
Witnessing yourself. You're
witnessing
yourself.
Myself. It's
right,
the truth.
Right,
right,
right. And so, but see, what I think is, you know, this is my interpretation of fun, is that you start to become more attuned to that. Like,
it's a great
noticing,
way to put it. Yes.
Noticing that you're in that place. It's like, oh, there it is, you know?
Well, because you're like, in tune with the intelligence of life itself. And I'm telling you, this intelligence is vast.
Yeah.
Vast.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and the fun part is it's us, it's the water in us, it's the minerals in us,
it's the expression, and then it shows up as creativity, synchronicity. I mean, it's so funny how I can remember, 2002. My brother and me are having a conversation in my apartment. I'm living alone, and he's like, stop talking about being a sage and start acting like one. My brother said that in a moment of clarity that was so profound that the following day I quit my nanny job because it was and I lived alone at the time. Because the woman would come home. It was my first job after my mom died.
Yeah.
The woman would come home. I took care of her little baby, Sophia. And would not acknowledge me. I mean, like, wouldn't say hello to me. She'd go right to the baby. Oh, I miss you. I miss you. And like, I'd just be sitting there. And that would be it. She'd take the baby away, and I'd be like, put my coat on and go, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And it was like, because my mom had just died, I was super, super vulnerable. I didn't confront her. I mean, she worked promotion at Scholastic Books.
Yeah.
So, like, she worked a lot with, Dad, I'm on the air. She worked a lot with promotion, like she worked with Harry Potter's author. You know, she would do black tie events, and you could just tell. I mean, the woman had it in her head that she did not need to say hello to the help.
Wow.
You know, and you know, Goldie will, you know, it was my first job out of the canon, so to speak, after my mom's death. So I kept it for a year, and it was funny. I was there for 9/11, and Sophia's birthday was actually 9/11. The day it happened, she was 2 years old, and both her parents were in New York City when it happened. I mean, like, they came home covered in soot.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of profound, which I believe I probably had something to do with. I was supposed to be in that house.
Yeah.
But when my brother said that to me, you know, because I was like, I'm not passionate about nannying. She would tell me things like, lock the door. There's been a rash of kidnappings happening out of people's homes. And I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what do you mean, lock the door so your kid doesn't get, you know, because I literally got the sense something bad's going to happen here. And if I'm here, it's going to be on my shift.
Yeah.
So I need to get the hell out of here. Because I could just sense there was I used to find little cocaine packets under the couch, so there was, you know, they were partier, you know, it was Hollywood, so to speak, and
so
I got out, but I remember when my brother said that to me, it was like there was this defining moment, and here was the synchronicity, which was so amazing. After my brother left, I go outside that night to call my cats in, and I see a skunk. And I immediately put my hands up, walked backwards. I went, okay, easy, girl, easy, girl. I went inside, and I looked up skunk on that totem page that I utilized.
So great.
And it said reputation.
Isn't that great, though?
I went, of course. And I was like, in other words, believe in yourself, Goldie. If you don't believe in – and it was like I knew the job was wrong, but I was living on my own. I didn't have anything.
Right.
And then I quit the job the next day. Well, I gave notice the next day, and, you know, it ended up they kicked me out after a week because it became clear that they loved me as long as I was working. You know, I was still – but the minute I pulled any sort of sovereign power, I gave her 4 weeks, which is like a nanny. That's what you give for nannies. And they got rid of me after like a week and a half. And I'm like, hey, you know, sayonara, I'm out of here. And then, you know, began my journey of signing checks that the bank was giving me.
That's pretty amazing, though. I mean, that your brother said
thank
that.
You.
You know.
He was the deliverer. He was the deliverer. And it was almost like so poignant because there was a point in time in my life when, to be honest, my brother's opinion of me meant a lot. And that was just about the time where I was letting go, but it was still, he could drop a bomb like that on me. Because he always used to say to me, like early in my light worker career, you know, stop giving all this credit to this one, that one. It's you. Own it. It's you. And it's so funny because to this day he doesn't do that for himself, but he can see it in me.
Yes, funny.
God bless siblings. And you know, I started more and more as I was living on my own. I see, once my mom died, it really became –
yeah.
Okay, well, I don't have a safety net anymore. So, you know, I got to do the things I want to do. And then, you know, and they were the greatest defining moments of my life because the truth is, you know, it's 10 years later. I did end up for 3 years, you know, consciously going bankrupt, which was fine. I did. I have no shame, quote unquote, around that. I lived on my own. I saw myself go through a transformation. And because I didn't have to worry about nannying, it was a deep transformation of really some significant belief changes and in who I am, because, you know, I know we get repetitive when we talk about this, but it really, this is not about, you know, that it's all going to be flowers and bunny rabbits and cotton candy. I mean, a lot of the change happens in, you know, Dante's Inferno, and when we're, you know, crying ourselves to sleep, when we're, you know, most frightened of our own creations, that we kind of rebirth ourselves as the phoenix, where, I mean, at this point, I could live alone. God knows I could live alone. I love when my dad goes to his girlfriend's and I have the house to myself. I mean, I enjoy my own company. I mean, I really do. I mean, there's no reason not to. I think if I could invite anybody to take anything away from the show, I would invite you to, you know, make it important to get to know yourself. Because, you know, we are the greatest allies we've got. We're the only one that's going to go the distance all the way through, which is eternity, by the way, is ourselves. Maybe it's a good idea to get to know this part of us. You know what I mean? Because once
yeah.
you do, it's a game changer in everything. And I'm telling you, we are so much stronger. I mean, I was a really frightened child. I mean, I was frightened about a lot of things. And I still have fears, but I have a lot of confidence in who I am, what I am. I mean, God bless our 40s. You know, this is why, you know, women get all uptight about growing old. Oh, my God, bring on maturity. It is so much more comforting than immaturity.
Yeah.
So much
no, more. And I think, you know, I was just, as I'm listening and I'm going, you know, when I said the self beyond the doubter, and I'm going, you know, that's a really good awareness of when someone's in, you know, doubt blowout, you know, or,
okay.
you know,
right on.
that you are aware that there's, and see, I think that the self beyond the doubter, I was thinking about that going, you know, that's what trust is. I mean,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, you know, I was just looking at the great blue heron that you sent me today on the, because you mentioned the skunk, and I went, oh, isn't that funny how these
totems,
they show up, you know,
yes.
and then,
yes.
you know, and you sent me that great blue heron today, as kind of a gift, and it was so, you know, appropriate because it's about standing.
Actually, let me plug for a sec. And that Great
yeah.
Blue Heron was a little blurb by Jennifer Adele.
Oh,
by the way,
yes.
And tomorrow we're doing a show. So, you know, if anybody interested, Jennifer will be doing, we're going to talk, you know, for like 45 minutes. She's writing a book and, you know, just catching up. And then the second part of the show, she's going to do mini readings of nature and animal totems. And I'm telling you, Jennifer's very attuned to nature and animal totems. They're great. She gives great reads. So, you know, join us tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
Now, was that hers? Because
that's her writing,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, because,
yeah.
you know, that was so, I mean, you know, people, she's writing a book, and I actually talked about that with her on Facebook today. We
nice.
Went back and forth
nice.
For a while, and I thanked her for the heron, you know, what she wrote. And
nice.
And, but I thought that you originally found it, and then she kind of added to it. So I wasn't even
I'm not totally sure, but I know this is what she does for a living. And I asked her a question about Daddy Long Legs while she was on
yeah.
vacation. And I said, listen, if you need to get home to get, and she was
yeah.
like, no, I can answer it right now. And she gave me a long write up. I mean, I think she's well versed in
she
her
is.
Craft. And, yeah. So I think it's
yeah.
her writings. And I think
oh,
she's spot on. So
yeah,
I don't think
she is.
I know. Yeah,
and,
she
and,
is.
And what's beautiful is that this is a character in my book. This great, you know, this great blue heron, and she I shared with her about him, the character in the book, and she was having such a great time listening. And then I told her, well, I'll be listening tomorrow to you with Goldie. You
nice.
Know,
nice.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so
sweet.
I'll probably,
that's sweet.
I'll probably call in.
Cool.
For a
cool.
reading.
I appreciate it. Well, I mean, because and I invite everybody to call in. I mean, because I have friends who do shows, you know, where they end early because nobody calls in. And I'm like, wow. So, you know, definitely call in, even though I would never end early. I'll just keep talking to Jen because, you
yeah.
know, it's all good, though. But I do appreciate you letting me, you know, slide that plug in. Slide.
Oh, no. It's great. It's great. Yeah.
yeah.
So we were going back and forth today for, I don't know, 20 minutes, maybe more, talking
oh, nice.
About writing books. And I was giving her some writing book experience that she was asking for. And Yes, self-reliance, motivation, determination, authority, assertiveness. This is all the great blue heron, Dan. You know, I love it. Balance, boundaries, and security.
Well, and this is, she even writes that it's the great blue heron, but it's also egrets. There's like 48 different species. You know the birds that when you look up in the sky and they look like God-blessed pterodactyls.
They're huge.
I mean, their wingspan's like 50,000 feet across. I mean, it's, every time, because I have a white heron, an egret, I mean, in the at the reservoir, and there's another place, and I can't think of where I see it, but I used to see it all the time in Stanford. I mean, you know, they're just, they're such
amazing
a presence.
Looking.
They're amazing looking. I mean, when you look up, you clearly know, all right, because I always say when I see a blue heron, an egret, you literally got to say to yourself, what's fantastic about this moment? And when I say fantastic, I don't just mean that it has to be fantastic, that it's wonderful, but, you know, become aware. Become aware of the moment, because I promise you, they're fantastic beings. I mean, when they show up, you know, it's the indicator. Okay, well, let's, you know, take a moment, go within, because, you know, this is the gifts of going within. Our bodies inside are very aware of everything happening on the outside, because the body inside is creating the outside.
Look, you know, I remember I was cleaning the basement, and then I had the experience with the woman from 21 years ago in the produce section, and who had an affair with my husband, and there she was apologizing to me, and you know, and that was extraordinary, and it was really an incredible moment of relating. I mean, it was artful, it was beautiful,
soulful.
It was totally soulful, a soulful moment. And you know, and I took a day off from basement cleaning because I needed to recover, because it's a lot of work, you know, basement cleaning. But then, you know, I went back in and I've been cleaning again, and I was saying to Goldie that it really is amazing to do things consciously, because I've been cleaning the house, but I'm aware that it's more than cleaning the house. It's not just cleaning the house, and there's a consciousness going on for me in this process. And you know, I think I'll take the I think about it.
Good job.
Something has picked up. You know, there's this movement. There's a, you know, remember we were talking about flow and stuck, and you know, with a river, and my book is about a river in the book, but it just feels like this cleaning of the house is you know, something going on for me too. Well, it is, and so, you know, I've noticed.
See, look at the, because I'm telling you, that's another thing about, you know, there's a difference between I believe in the experience and I know.
I know, right?
I say that because it's literally a dimensionally different experience to believe than it is to know. And knowing almost feels like, let's just say it. Knowing opens more doors multidimensionally than believing or even trusting. I mean, I get it that we have to get there.
Yeah.
But there really comes a time where, you know, Adama said, because I was so jazzed. Here's another thing that recently just went inside me and, like, exploded in presence in me. Adamus from Crimson Circle has a talk called Adamus Released in Sedona. And I posted this today. In this talk, he literally says that we are at the 11th hour, 59th minute, 59th second of about 24 million people going through an ascension. And, you know, we all can feel it. You can feel that there's like, you know, when the tsunami takes the water out, you know, and then the next thing you know, there's a 60-foot wave coming at you. I mean, you can really feel something going on. And, you know, all of us who are sensitives, you know, we're not crazy. You know, we've been on some level in a waiting period.
Yeah.
And but the waiting period is, this is where Carolyn's work comes in. The waiting period is teaching us endurance.
That's for
because
sure.
We are going, you know, when before this whole thing, you know, is birthed into the, you know, the amazing gods and goddesses of creational light that you know, Mother Earth is birthing us into, we're going to go through a dark compression. You know, which is ultimately, when you think about it, it's when the baby symbolically goes through the birth canal. You know, it's kind of all comfy, growing and stuff in the womb. But when it gets into the birth canal, it's tight, it's contractions, it's dark. I mean, and think about it, truly, the baby doesn't have a clue that, you know, well, just beyond that, you're going to be birthed. So It's gonna get dark before it gets. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Right. It sounds.
Oh,
so
they said, "Can I?" Yeah.
No.
So,
I said right.
Yeah. So the endurance is about, you know, on some level, you know, a few of us, it feels like, you know, we've kind of been, you know, swimming around in the womb, going, you know, because I can tell you, and Alana will tell you this. 10 years ago, I was going, you know, we're going to reach a part where it's going to get really dark. That's when we'll know we're right at the part before it's going to get really light. Until it gets really dark, it's all bullshit. We're not, and I really thought 9/11 was, I thought it would domino from there. I'll be honest with you, I was hoping it would domino because then we'd be done with it. And then it all backed off. Then it became a head trip again. You know, everybody was just screaming. But now it is very obvious with bankers, countries going bankruptcy, bankers going to prison, the Vatican coming down. Okay, I see what the last 12 years did from 9/11 to here. And okay, and now it's pretty clear that, you know, the compression has, if it hasn't begun, we're being prepared to being compressed, and we're going to need to know endurance. We're going to need to know ourselves, because if you're listening to the show with any kind of resonance, you're going to be birthing with Mother Earth. Okay, so that, but we still have to go through with the rest of the world on some level, you know, the collapse of the outside world. It's just, you know, when the world kind of goes through its collapse, we'll notice that as a birthing moment, where those that aren't birthing will notice that as a cataclysm. So, you know, it just feels like, because even what me and you were talking about, Janine, that, you know, it's like resting is good, but I can see, this is, again, this is the balance. I mean, God knows I sleep a lot. I do. I am the first to admit it. I have no shame around sleeping 12 hours a day. Hell no. I'm good. But I also get, my body tells me, go out there and hike. Stay strong, you know. And I don't just hike, you know, I'm hiking mountains. I'm building my calf muscles. I'm building endurance because my body wants me to be prepared for whatever it is that's going to happen. Rest is good, but so is endurance training on some level. And that's that balance. That's that balance that I'm speaking of. We're embracing both sides of polarity in almost everything that's polarized.
Mm.
I mean, we really are. That's the preparation in order to be birthed. I mean, that's how, you know. Huh, that just came to me. It's kind of nice.
You know, it's so much is happening lately where I'm hearing things, and, you know, I'm hearing them differently, and I'm responding differently. And I'm, like I said, this is like, you know, honestly, since like the beginning of July, it's just kind of gotten more and more. And I'm enjoying it, but it is in some ways also, you know, taking me by surprise, and I'm going, oh, okay. Because I was, just 2 days ago, And I guess what I would say to people listening is that there is an inner intelligence that even when you're thinking or saying something, you actually may be saying a real truth, but you're not used to knowing that that's what it is. And I experienced this 2 days ago, hearing a story about someone who's struggling, you know, kind of going through a challenging time of, you know, sobriety and kind of letting the emotions come up, which, of course, I'm a big proponent of that, you know, going, it's about time, it's great, you know. But this person literally said out loud, I just feel like I'm going to die. And now, and so the minute I heard that, you know, I said,
you got excited.
I said to the person telling me the story, I went, she's exactly right. And they looked at me, you know, like, what? And I went, she knows that she's ready. Her old self is ready to go. And she's coming into herself. And she doesn't realize how smart she is, how great, what just, you know, her inner intelligence really does know. And
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And what is so interesting to me is that, you know, when somebody like her, if I were there, I would have said that, and I wasn't, but, you know, when someone, I guarantee you that she would have done a double take and got what I was saying, because that we do know. We, you know, the self beyond the doubter knows. And so what you're talking about, I believe versus I know, I remember watching this incredible interview of Carl Jung done when he was about 86 years old, and he was still completely active in his brilliance. And the interviewer said, and it's all on YouTube, by the way.
And nice.
The interviewer said, well, do you believe? And he goes, I don't believe I know. And it was amazing, you know, to see him say that, because it was something that I had already been contemplating, and to hear Carl Jung say it, who, you know, did incredible pioneering work, and, you know, came upon thoughts and comments probably that were surprising clients and people that he was taking care of. And, and I think that that's what happens is, in the times that we are in, these breakthrough understandings come in. And for me, the breakthrough understandings seem to be happening when I'm listening to people and they're saying things and they're actually saying what's true, but it's being misinterpreted as bad. And I know, you know, it's like, no, you're brilliant. You're a genius. You're
right.
You're ready.
Right on.
Your old self is ready to die. It has nothing to do with a physical death. Nothing.
Right.
It's to do with old self.
Well, it has
know?
To do with the soul. It's the soul's journey moving forward. The soul doesn't need you to die physically in order to birth itself in you anew.
Right, and I would have met her probably with a smile and said, yeah, that's right. And,
exactly.
You know, then it would have been a flip in, oh, actually, I'm not in a terrible place. Look at that. I get it. I get something about myself, you know, and that's, you know, a lot of people that truly are, you know, that in touch are tormented. They are, because they've been misunderstood here, you know.
Yeah.
Hey,
listen, that's why we do the show, though. I mean, Janine, your voice
is
now being heard by many people. And,
good.
You know, and not just your voice, your wisdom, truly, because...
Thanks.
You're welcome. I mean, you've done it for me. I absolutely came into this, you know, a year ago when we really started processing me on the air, where you understood me in a way that, well, not even just on the air, you know, even privately, you know, it's like, Goldie, you know, what are you talking about? You know, you're brilliant. And it's like, you know, I've always known I was brilliant, but I didn't know this part was brilliant. So, I mean, I really just thought this part was the insecure part of me. And when you're like, no, look at it this way, it's like, oh, my God.
Right. Well,
it was such a support of, well, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I left Scott for some specific reasons. And, you know, I actually want to talk about this for a sec because this has been really interesting going on in my life. Because I said this recently, and then I started seeing it. And I have a feeling this is happening with many of us. I am going through choices or experiencing choices that my mother experienced, but I am choosing self-empowering choices where my mother did not.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, for you.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, first of all, of course, you know, when the bumps came up, you know, when my mom had bumps, I mean, she ended up, you know, having mastectomies and, you know, having a 10-year romance with, you know, the doctors who were putting tremendous amounts of poison in her body. And, you know, and she would do it no other way. It was only Western medicine and there were specific doctors and you could literally tell she was having an affair, not sexually, but emotionally, with these men who were telling her how amazing she was because she could take all that fucking poison.
Well, that's amazing.
I've always known if I ever got cancer, there would never be a stitch of chemotherapy in my blood or radiation. That just wouldn't happen. But so, you know, but I get my bumps. I talk to them, you know, what do you want me to know? Give some love to them. Mm-hmm. And they disappear. Then I started noticing, you know, I mean, Scott asked me to take care of his mom. And, you know, it was just the beginning, you know, taking her to doctor's appointments, taking her to helping her clip her nails. And I saw my mom for 10 years take care of my father's mother. And in all honesty, you know, my father has this huge block around that time because it was a horrible time. The year she had cancer. She was resentful of doing it. Her and my grandmother never got along. And in all honesty, wiping my grandmother's ass and not liking her while she was doing it was not a happy time in my house. It was ugly. And what was ugly was that my mother was doing this self. What's that thing the Catholic people do where they whip themselves? It's a part of the Catholic religion.
Well, it's not penance, but no, there's an actual word for like self.
No, and there's a part of what is it? Flatulation.
Self-flagellation.
I think it is.
Yeah.
You make yourself bleed, and it's a part of the Catholic Church. I know that they showed
crazy.
Up in the Da Vinci Code movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a good, because when Scott asked me to do it, you know, I mean, I contemplated, and me and Scott had actually, I realized that when I got together with him, even before we got married, I remember saying, oh, you know, this is the first time Scott needs me in his life. And him needing me created a different component to how he responded to me. And then when it came down to, you know, that kicking into gear, me taking care of his mom, you know, I contemplated that. And I clearly heard the message, no, you know, I'm not going to take. This is not my journey to, you know, to bust my hump taking care of your mom. I mean, it's just, my body does what it does, and, you know, but it was so interesting because then I realized, oh, see, that's another thing that my mom said yes to that I said no to.
Yes.
Because I just got this sense, like, on some level, the work that I'm doing, the self-esteem and the choosing to be alone, the sitting downstairs with a total stranger, opening up, you know, literally to total transparency. I mean, I was completely honest with him, and all of these things seem to energetically be affecting the space around me.
Yeah. Yeah, that decision making, you know, it's like chicken and the egg. It's not either, you know, but that decision making that is, you're fully engaged in it. It's not, you know, you're not in it. You're not in it halfway, or that
exactly.
They're very healthy, and they really are full-hearted decisions as opposed to doing something half-hearted or with resentment. You know, those are harmful. They're harmful for everybody too.
They are harmful, right on.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
On.
They're harmful on both sides. You know, nobody.
Absolutely.
Wins,
no, right. My grandmother, I mean, she might have lost her marbles, but I'm sure she didn't enjoy those last years with my mother. It wasn't pretty.
I think that those kinds of, I mean, again, I'm just going to, you know, it's like an inner knowing, an inner intelligence, an awareness, you know, decision making that's really, and it's not even bold, it's just healthy, you know?
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's not like, I am not historically known for making healthy choices.
But there's something going on when, you know, we follow the threads of self-esteem and maturity and honesty and truth and integrity and authenticity and, you know, and being a disciple of yourself, and then next thing you know, you are making decisions that are healthy.
Well, but I have to add this, though, too, and this is awareness. I agree with everything you just said, first of all, truly, just said, because I can also tell you what's motivating these choices on some level for me. If you could put one at the top, at the moment it's at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sense that time is running out.
Mm.
And it really does complement what you were saying, that things are speeding up.
Yeah.
Because things are speeding up because time is running out.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally the fabric of reality is, I'm not quite sure how this works, but I believe, and I do say believe because I don't know this, that there are places in the cosmos, as our galaxy moves through the cosmos, there are places in the cosmos that support time, and there are places in the cosmos that support no time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving into a no time zone,
mm-hmm.
and which will, from a perceptual point of view, that's a game changer, friends. Obviously. I get it. You know, nobody out there, we're not stupid. We just, it's like, well, how is that a game changer? Well, I don't know, but here's the ironic part. Time running out is now showing up in my life as I'm making healthy choices because, like, my body knows certain things must get into balance before that birthing takes place. You know, because I'm still drinking coffee, knowing that the coffee whacked
smiling.
Me out. Yeah?
I know, because things like time is running out, because I'm very curious. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, it's the ultimate synchronicity. It's probably just one giant synchronicity. It's like, it's beyond description, because I, you know, don't think that we've experienced it, but I think that
we're in the process of it's unfolding.
We're tasting, you know, I feel that those decisions based on time is running out, those knowing the self beyond the doubter, me hearing people say things and me completely hearing their inner intelligence, and they're not aware of it, so I get to tell them, and then I see them go, get it. You know, it's like,
right, the aha. Which is a physical experience now, the ahas. They're physical.
Right, I can watch them happen. And then, and also to myself, obviously. And then, you know, I think that this is, whatever the interpretation of time is running out, I think this is what it feels like as it approaches that or is in that process. And
I agree.
And it's...
Well, and remember, too, Robert Jung said, all pain is associated with time. Remove time from your experience and you remove all. And he didn't say suffering. He said pain.
Yeah.
meaning that kind of correlates with time is running out and I'm making healthy choices, you know, like. Because I'm always curious, you know, and, you know, enough of you guys that are listening to me, and we're getting new listeners all the time. So, you know, just so you know, I have no shame about my dark side. I have hung out in the shadows my whole life, and I'm very good at being in the shadows. I mean, I've always actually been I've been better at being, you know, what's Mae West? When I'm good, I'm good. When I'm bad, I'm better. And that's my life. I you know, I've broken laws and, you know, I've been a deviant and I've, you know, walked to my own tunes, and I'm comfortable in that space. And I've always felt an uncomfortableness in the sense of to being in an alignment with quote unquote society and the way the world was. Because, you know, I get it now. I mean, intuitively, my soul was like, you know, that the world is toxic. It's bullshit. You know, it's all upside down. That's good. But stay a criminal because you're better off. But until I met you, Janine, I definitely felt like, you know, I used to say there was honor amongst thieves. You know, if I was sitting in a room with, you know, post dealers and thieves and, you know, okay, you know, I'm confident, but, you know, I wouldn't always, you know, feel as confident in a room with, you know, legitimate people who had made it in society. And now, to be honest, I can sit in a room with anybody. I mean, because I'm not a criminal anymore. Well, I guess I kind of am. But I'm a criminal to a system that's falling apart. I laugh because I just will not apologize for that. Let the whole goddamn thing collapse already, because, you know, I mean, I laugh when I hear people go, I can't break the law. And I go to myself, you watch TV, which programs you to buy the products that literally are poisoning you, are trying to kill you, you know, doing all this negative transferring of thought and impulses, and you won't break the law. You know, like, there's a level of awareness that is so available if we want it right now. I mean, I want it, so I dive into it and enjoy playing in it. You know, it's because it's like, that's another thing I've always said since my awakening when I was 30, that I really got that this is a dualistic planet, or at least a dualistic dimension. Let's not be surprised that we smell like shit. We eat shit, we roll in shit when it's a dualistic planet. Why else would we be here if it wasn't to roll and experience shit? Like, it's the nature of what's here.
And break the law. And break the law. Because,
well, that's part of smelling like, you know, shit, according to the do-gooders.
Well, no, I mean, you know, it depends on what the law is, because, like, you know, you just finished reading the Frederick Douglass book, and, you know, clearly, thank God he broke the law, because the law said it was okay to have slaves, you know?
Frederick Douglass,
yeah.
I'm telling you, that book is applicable to today.
It is
listening
in every
to him in every way, energetically speaking. Most of all, a slave talks about his own emancipation through learning how to read and write, and it's shared in the energy of the book, where he takes you through the many years of hardship as a slave, then learning to read and write, and how his life changed after that. And
yeah,
what he
What? Sorry. No,
that's
I just
okay.
wanted to say that it's called The Narrative of the Slave, written by Frederick Douglass. And what's really amazing, you know, he was an incredible human being that you get that through the book, and you learn about liberation and what it takes. So it is appropriate for today. But also, if you go, you know, I just discovered this about 3 weeks ago. If you go on the Library of Congress, you can look at all his handwritten letters and speeches that are superb in support of humanity and fairness and quality. And, you know, it's just fun, and you see his handwriting.
Nice.
And, yeah,
nice.
So I love things like
nice.
That. You know,
on. Great offer there. That's a great offer.
Yeah, so,
well, because this book was written in 1838, and it's applicable today. So, you know.
Energetically, it's totally applicable today.
Because
you know
we've been slaves. You know, we're just now slaves without chains. But the chains are the electrical system that we use. The chains are, you know, the GMOs. And I'm not going to get into all the obvious things that are being done to us.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, awareness trumps them all.
Right.
Awareness trumps them all. Because I really am starting to see that the way my body responds when, you know, whether I'm being transparent with Joe or honoring my truth with Scott, my body doesn't hold disease patterns. Like, I get bumps and things that potentially could be, you know, misconstrued as, you know, pre-cancer crap. And then I, through awareness, and what does awareness tell me to do? Drink water, get plenty of fresh air, enjoy the sunshine and rest.
And speak the truth. Right.
My truth, you know, what's truth for me? I mean, like, really? And I just, you know, my body's healthy. I mean, and I'm not saying I don't wake up days and I don't feel 90 years old. I mean, I am going through this compression because there is a compression going on. But I am not, I'm on no medications. I mean, and here's the funny part. When I was younger, I was totally cystuous. I didn't used to get acne on my face. I used to get cysts.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really cystual prone.
Yeah.
And now, that's just, you know, now I watch things miraculously disappear when I do something emotionally supportive of energetically movement, flow. You know, that's the key. I'm telling you, it's the golden key is let go, detach. You know, don't be attached to things, whether it's the past, the future, how something's supposed to look. All of that is mousetraps for disease. You know, let life show you. You know, because I can remember a time when I was single and I was hunting for a husband so I could have a baby. I mean, like, that's all I wanted. And I was like, I played the numbers game. I was like, if I can date three times a week, I'm bound to find my husband, right? I mean, three times a week for a year, I must have dated 300 men or whatever, you know, like stupid amounts of men. But it really became obvious to me that what I was ultimately doing is, I just lost my train of thought. What the hell was I talking about?
When you were younger, you were hunting for a man.
What was I talking about before that?
A baby. Well, I don't know. I guess it was, old patterns, or maybe you weren't living your truth, or how it was affecting your physical body, or...
Yeah, right. It was about running energy.
Okay. Maybe you were running energy over there? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just so funny how...
You'll come in with it.
Yeah, when I can't remember, but I'll go from here. My mind was going based on the fact, you know, date, you know, do the numbers pool, physically do it. And, you know, the truth is, after a year of dating, I was no closer to anybody becoming my father, the father of my children or my husband. And really what I understood... See, that's a leakage of energy.
Oh, well, maybe you were also talking about detaching. So you obviously were very
attached.
Oh,
that's what it went right on.
Yeah,
because you know, I was so attached to, you know, living moment was about, you know, date, and it, you know, did it produce anything? You know, I don't even think I had even like second and third date. My brother was calling me a professional one-time dater. Which was, of course, because, see, that's what happens when we try and control stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if, you know, oh, this is what I was going to say. I was looking for a relationship with all of my might. And all life kept giving me was what I would call play dates. They were just play dates. They were guys that, okay, go on a date and have fun. But see, I didn't even know how to do that because, you know, of course, I'm on the date. So what do you think about marriage? What do you think about marrying me? You want kids? Yeah, all right, 20 minutes? All right, that's a deal. That's a date. I mean, I get it. I was needy. I was putting all the wrong feet forward. I didn't see it at the time. But it is ironic how when we think we're that single focused that, you know, there's a lot of quote-unquote manifestors out there that'll tell you that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Become single focused. And I'll tell you, what does life bring to you? That is the most essential thing you can work with. If life isn't bringing you, if you're single and life isn't bringing you somebody to date, well, by golly, isn't that a great time to get to know yourself? Ha, look at that. You know, and people don't realize that getting to know the self, this is not a booby prize.
No.
This is the real, this is the lottery of the lotteries. It's because once we are in cahoots, so to speak, with ourself, I mean, I don't chase anymore. I'm not chasing. I'm so relaxed in my beingness. I love that Joe just showed up to my world, you know, like, because actually this Sunday I'm going to a new space, a new church. I'm hoping I'm gonna get along nice with the other churchgoers. I don't know. It's a little light worky. You know, they're all, I think, selling a modality, one shape or form. But it seems to be a lot of, you know, awareness.
Ooh, I guess you have a purpose there.
I want to go because I'm after being with Scott. Me and Scott were definitely secluded. I mean, him being autistic didn't hurt that at all. It was like, and I was okay with it because I was preparing myself to break up with Scott because my entire time spent with him, he taught me how to go within. Because energetically, there's nothing that extends out from Scott. I don't know if this is all autistic people, but it was with Scott. All his energy focused within himself. And I get that he sees perceptually a much greater perceptual awareness through his wiring than the average person like myself. But what was so interesting is I didn't necessarily have to see what he saw. But I was mimicking the behavior of where I've always been in relationships and taking care, you know, move outward, the caretaker, the healer, the rescuer.
Right.
But being with Scott, I went in because he showed me that, you know, this is, he didn't just show, I knew that's what he was showing me. So by the time I was strong enough within, I'm now ready to go, okay, I can go on my own now.
Yeah.
So when we broke up, you know, I think he was scratching his head going, wow, where did that come from on some level, even though he threw me out. Where I was in the last 8 months preparing. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to share. Me and Alana were talking, and tell me if this happens with you. Like, when I moved to Buffalo, New York, my intention was to stay in Buffalo for 3 years, and basically from the day I arrived in Buffalo to the day I left was approximately 8 months, and I was married to Scott for 8 months, and it feels like 8 months seems to be the time that's the length of the plan I choose. And not consciously, of course, where I seem to cycle through my life in 8 month cycles. Like Alana said, she cycles through her life in 2 year cycles.
Yeah.
Do you find that you have a time frame of some sort?
You know, it's so funny. It was quite a while ago, maybe 12, 14 years ago, but I had a good friend and she sort of just didn't seem to want to be my friend anymore. And I was hurt by it, you know? And for whatever reason that was, but you can't make someone be any different. So I was hurt, but I had this dream, like right after, and in the dream, he told me it would take 8 months for me to get over it.
Really?
And you know what? It was 8 months. And then it was 8 months.
Oh, get out.
No, I'm not kidding.
You know the 8 month schedule too? Maybe we met in the 8 month waiting room.
Right. No, and I was pretty amazed by that. I did sort of feel the loss of the friendship and the missing of the friendship, but after eight months it was gone. And
wow.
I realized that it was better for me because the relationship wasn't as authentic as it needed to be, and it was meant to not to, that it wasn't good for me, and that
right.
I couldn't right. So, but it was. She told me in the dream it would take 8 months, and it did. And I remember that.
That's
and
interesting.
So 8 months.
See, well, and it makes sense that we're part of on some level because we are definitely what I would call metabolically connected.
Right.
We are. I mean, I have it with Sahana. I mean, I don't know about the listening audience, but telepathic stuff going on. Me and Sahana, my little 5-year-old that I take care of, we're literally reading each other's minds. Well, she's reading my mind.
that's a great story.
Yeah, and I'm very aware. I mean, like, I'll be looking at a book with, she loves to read, bless her. Her and Anya love to read. And there'll be, like, 26, it's the Disney book, with, like, all the different Disney stories. And we opened it up yesterday, or was it yesterday or the day before? And I was like, in my head going, I really want to read Alice in Wonderland. That's just what I want to read. Next thing I know, out of her mouth, let's read Alice in Wonderland. It's like, of course, let's read Alice in Wonderland. I have thought about candy, giving her this candy, and she'll say, hey, can we go downstairs and get my candy now? And it's like, it'll be, the fruity snacks, exactly what I'm thinking. And it's like, this is part of the nature of space and the awareness. This is the door that's opening is truly thoughts being read. I mean, it's literally because inevitably we won't use words anymore. It'll all be thought. And it's interesting too, because thoughts, I sense this about thoughts. Thoughts can't be when you're doing it telepathically or telempathically, meaning also through sensations of feeling, not just the mind, but your whole body kind of reading it. You can't be lied to and you can't be deceived. It's a full message. The message is full in its communication. It really is full and complete. And
I think that's what we're talking about in terms of. Remember, we were talking about body awareness and.
Right.
You literally.
I think
are,
yeah.
You're
no,
like
I
a,
know that
like
is what
sensor,
body awareness is.
Like a
yes.
sensor.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, and it's so funny. I think that not even with people, not even just with people. Because this morning I'm in my studio and I say to myself, literally, I go out of nowhere. I go Ernesto, and then in about a half hour, I walk into the house and turn on the television, and they go, and Hurricane Ernesto is,
oh,
and
wow.
I go, right, and I'm like, wow. Because I was wondering why I was, thinking Ernesto. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Well, who's Ernesto? And then I go in and I'm like, oh, a hurricane. I'm like, oh, I'm communicating with the hurricane,
Yeah, well, Eckhart Tolle literally is like, if you want to know anything going on in the world, go within your own body. Because
we are the
microcosm to the macrocosm. Right on. Right on.
Isn't that funny?
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing, actually.
So
talking to the hurricane. Well, I'm talking to the water, of course. You know what I mean? Like, this
exactly.
is what we do.
We're talking to major water there, and spiraling water and water. Yeah, I mean.
Movement. Talk about movement.
That's a consciousness for you.
Yeah, it's movement on crack, God bless.
that is not instant coffee.
Exactly. That was good. That was very good. Hey, listen.
What?
I want to do the songs so for everybody
okay.
in the chat room because there's not even any callers. So just so everybody knows, what I do is the song that we opened with was of course "Don't Fear the Reaper" by Blue Oyster Cult. Because what I like to do is, I'm playing with this for now. I bring the song in, you know, kind of with all our shadow side and our stickiness and, you know, the stuff, quote unquote, we think we have to work on. And then I like to end the song with a real, you know, kind of cheerleading kind of, you know, oh, hell no, we won't go. Bring it on. So I want you guys in the chat room to hear the song because I think it's a wonderful way to leave the show with real positive energy.
So, me too, and I love that you're doing this with the music, so thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. But yeah. Before we do that, can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, I have a website, and it's my name, jlkimmel.com, and that's K-I-M-M-E-L.com. And I'm also on Facebook. It's Janine L. Kimmel. And you can go on Goldie's page on Facebook and find me and her friends, too. So thanks, Goldie.
Oh, and just so everybody knows, too, my Facebook page is on, I found this out, is on every episode page. There's a link. If it's not on the episode page, if you go to the home page of BTR, there's a connection to my Facebook page right there on the front.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want to, you know, befriend me, just, you know, come on down. It's all good.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to start this, otherwise you guys are already going to miss the last few seconds, but it's okay.
Okay.
Listen,
bye.
I love you, Janine.
I love you,
audience.
Too.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It means the world to us. Okay, here's your cheerleading song for tonight. Have fun.
Plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel just so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in?